Welcome to Okay, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Kendall Ford. I am a writer, storyteller, and absolutely love empowering people. I believe that our stories and experiences, no matter how much pain or heartbreak they may have once caused, hold incredible power. The power to bring freedom, the power to uplift others, and the power to live triumphantly. Sometimes people just need a listening ear and a safe space. This is that space. So, okay, let's talk. Hey, everybody. Happy November. It's the most wonderful time of year. And yes, my daughter and I are already preparing to celebrate Christmas. So, judge your mama. But I hope you all had a great Halloween if you celebrate Halloween, and I hope you didn't eat too much candy. I'm super excited to move into the holiday season, and it's my favorite time of year. So happy early Merry Christmas. But welcome to today's episode of Okay, Let's Talk. And so as usual, I'm going to start today's episode off with Kendall's 5-minute soapbox. I love these moments and really grateful that I've given myself this platform because y'all, I have a going list of things and I'm like, I need to rant about that for a little bit. And so I'm starting my timer right now. 5 minutes is going. And so today in Kendall's 5-minute soapbox, I want to talk about something that is super personal to my heart. It has bothered me for years and I hate to take such a negative tone in such a peaceful, loving space. But y'all, if you are married, and your spouse goes on a trip for work, for pleasure, whatever, if they are just gone, not around during the week or whatever, married ladies and men too, y'all are not single parents because your spouse has gone away on a trip. Okay? So if you are the husband, the wife, whatever, and your partner goes away, you are not a single parent. I say this in the most loving, most understanding tone that I possibly can. Y'all are not single parents, okay? Okay, I'm not done. I have more to say. Being a single parent is so much more than not having the physical presence of another person. It's having a single income. It's having a solo support. Just to be transparent, one of the hardest things for me about being a single parent is that when I face an issue in our family or in our life, it's mostly on my shoulders and in my responsibility to take care of that. And so if you are married and your partner has just gone away on a work trip, guess what? You can still call them that and say, hey, this is what's happening with our kid. What are we going to do? As a single parent, I usually have no one to call. I mean, praise the Lord, I have my family, but most of us have no one to call. Like, the sole responsibility of handling my child and handling our issues and handling our finances and handling our life in general is on me. And so, and nothing irritates me more as a single parent is when I go on Facebook and I see someone say, oh, my husband is traveling, but he comes back on Friday. Only a few more days of being a single parent. You are not a single parent. You are not a single parent. You have two incomes coming into that house, typically. And even if you don't, you have another person who is there to support you, who is there to be an emotional support, who is there to help you solve problems. You are not a single parent. It's not the same thing. And I don't know why people do that, but I wish you would stop because it's a little bit demoralizing to us real single parents out there. The struggle is real, y'all. Okay. And there are so many things that we could find agreement on, that we could share similarities in other ways. But married folks, y'all are not single parents when your spouse travels. Okay. Let's just agree on this. You are not a single parent when your spouse travels. Okay, if your spouse disappears, passes away, you all of a sudden have one income, you all of a sudden have the whole weight of your whole life resting on your shoulders, then we can talk, okay? But respectfully, please, please, please do not consider yourself a single parent because your spouse is traveling, okay? Okay, And just like that, I'm done. So moving on to today's episode. So y'all know I talked about it last week, but I am so grateful and I love having this platform to be able to share stories and share experiences and also talk about things that are close to my heart. And so in that same spirit, I invite friends and people I meet out in the community doing life or whatever. I also invite them to come and have this platform and educate us or share something on their heart. And so I met Kimberly Hildebrand a couple, maybe like a month and a half ago at the same women's conference I was at when I met Abby Block from last week. And she is a life coach, motivational speaker. She's a writer, blogger, clinician. She's a lot of things. And she was one of the keynote speakers at this conference I was at. And she has come onto the show today to share something that I honestly had never had any experience with. I learned so much when I was talking to her, and I hope that you guys do too. So just stay tuned and listen up to what Kimberly has to say. She is absolutely amazing. All right, with no further ado, Kimberly Hildebrand. Hey, Kimberly, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to OK Let's Talk. Are you so excited to be here?
Absolutely. I can't wait.
I'm very excited. I've been looking forward to sitting down to talk with you and just hear more about your work and what you do. And I just know you have so much incredible experience. So welcome.
Thank you.
So I kind of, go ahead.
Well, I was going to do my own introduction. Sorry. It's your job.
It's okay. So I kind of already explained a little bit about who you are and why you're joining us today, but go ahead and just tell us, go ahead and just share a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Sure. So I have a master's in clinical counseling, and my track was marriage and family therapy. And I've worked in the clinical field for about 8 years, and I've seen a lot. I've read a lot of information on, dealing with narcissism, and I really, feel passionate about helping people that have been a victim of narcissism, because it is unbelievable how many people have stories upon story of how they were victimized. And one thing I've seen is how the court systems can also be used to victimize people. And I think that, the systems, yes, are failing people. But one thing that I've witnessed firsthand in my life, but then also clinically and through other people's stories, I've heard of how a narcissistic individual will use the court system to abuse them.
Right.
So I feel very passionate about educating others, because, the more you're educated on narcissism and what to expect if you have to go through court with someone that has narcissism, and then the more protection you'll have for yourself going through that process, which is already stressful.
Right, exactly. And so you guys, our listeners, know, and Kimberly is a listener, and I just want to thank you for being one of our amazing listeners. So you guys, our listeners, you know that I'm all about kind of shining a light onto things that I feel like society is maybe forgotten about or brushed over, and to bring education and truth into the conversation. And so today, talking with Kimberly, we're going to be talking about systems, specifically the court system. And she's already kind of highlighted this, specifically speaking about narcissism and dealing with narcissists, which I recently have been educated a lot on that. And sending Kimberly TikToks as we've been planning this, like, oh my gosh, did you see this girl? She's dealing with a narcissist, and she should be part of your group, and you should like do a stitch video like this. So tell us a little bit about, first let me say, you guys are listeners, if you've been following the podcast, you know that I have already been talking about systems and how a lot of systems in America are what's failing people. And yes, people are broken. Yes, people need whatever kind of help and assistance they may need mentally, financially, emotionally. But if we are fixing these people and not fixing the broken systems that are continuing to break these people, then we're just putting a band-aid on the situation. And so, Kimberly, tell us a little bit about the court system and some of the brokenness that you've witnessed there as a clinician.
Yes. So a lot of people go into court thinking that it's going to be fair
Right.
and thinking that it's a safe place.
Especially
And
women and minorities, right?
yes. And also if you do not have the finances, you know,
Yep. It's a lower
if you,
socioeconomic, yep.
yes. So I think that that is a big shocker for most entering into the court system, thinking that the judge would be fair. The judge is going to see, you know, this other person being irrational, or, you know, they're definitely gonna go in my favor. Just, you know, I'm the mother. I'm, you know, whatever reason that they may have,
Right.
thinking that it's going to be fair, and then they go in for this shock of a lifetime when they get a very unfair ruling. And it's traumatizing in itself. So
Right.
there's a lot of things that can go wrong in the court system. So one thing that I've seen are and heard of are very unfair rulings.
Right.
So
So do you feel like in the court system with the lawyers and the judges and all, and even with juries and things like that, do you feel like there is a lack of awareness of what it looks like to be dealing with a narcissist?
yes, I do. So when I was in grad school, I remember reading a lot of research that indicated that family courts are becoming more aware of narcissism in the family courts. However, when I got it out into the real world and I started working with people and speaking to attorneys as well, I learned that that's not the case. Maybe I was reading isolated research articles, but when I got out in the real world, I actually remember asking that question to attorneys and to other you know, people that were dealing with court situations, and you know, they basically said no, you know, they don't deal with narcissism. They don't. It's not a problem. I kept hearing how it wasn't a problem,
Oh my
and
goodness.
how. Yeah, court is supposed to be black and white, and we go by these set of rules. So narcissism wouldn't even affect the outcome.
Of course, right?
And
Yeah.
I was very shocked. I was very shocked to hear that because it's not the case. Because, you know, narcissist, it is a personality disorder. So, you know, one thing with the personality disorder is, you know, they generally don't go by rules. So, you know, society rules don't apply to them. So, you know, if you have to deal with going to court with someone that has a personality disorder, they're not going to play by the rules.
Right.
So they're
Because
highly
they're already not
manipulative.
even playing by the rules in society in general.
No. And they're highly manipulative, and they know exactly how to act in a courtroom. So, interestingly enough, they are also known to hire attorneys that are narcissist to do their dirty work.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it gets really sticky. And the trauma that takes place when you are dealing with a narcissist in court is very high. In fact, I've heard of cases, I actually know someone where she had to spend $30,000 in court proceedings because she was in the process of divorcing a narcissist, and he was using the court system to abuse her, and he didn't want to end the case. He wanted it to keep going and going and
What
going
the
so
heck?
he can put her in, you know, some heavy debt. And that's actually very common. Another thing that's very common is that narcissists will get restraining orders against the other person. And this is common because it's used as a tactic to dominate, to control, and to make themselves look like the victim, and the other person is, you know, the horrific monster.
So with narcissists and dealing with narcissism, you said that it's a personality disorder. So like is it like diagnosable? Like what, like as a clinician, you see, you let's say you have a client who is a narcissist, like what is, can you become a not an un like can you undo the process and become normal? Like, or is there just no hope for them?
Sadly, there is no hope.
Really?
It is ingrained in their personality. It's part of their development. When their brain was, or their personality was forming, it's when it occurred. And no, there's no known treatment. There's no cure. This is a lifelong diagnosis. And when I worked in practice, I would see narcissists, but not as my clients. So I would see couples, and I would see, the one person that wanted to do counseling wasn't a narcissist, but that person that was pulled in was. So you actually don't see them in counseling because they don't have the problem. It's everyone else who has the problem. So, or they'll use the counseling session just to kind of berate their partner,
And
but
gaslight
they're not
them
there
in.
for, yeah, they're not there for any true.
It would probably take a huge come to Jesus moment for someone who's a narcissist to be like,
It would
oh,
take a miracle.
I think I'm a narcissist.
It would take a miracle.
So in
But
your experience, because I don't want it to feel like we're like beating up men. Women can be narcissists
oh,
too, right?
absolutely.
Yeah, I just wanted
Absolutely.
you to
And I've
clarify.
seen that. Yes, no. Now, there statistically, yes, men are, there's a higher level of male narcissist, but there are certainly plenty of female narcissists and that do the same horrific behaviors in court. So it can go either way.
So give me a few like character traits or red flags that someone may see in a relationship and realize like, oh, this isn't just like problems we're having, but my partner is a narcissist.
So one red flag would be their excessive need for control. They must control every situation. They also look at their partner as though their partner is basically there to serve them. So they're not an equal loving partner that's going to contribute to the relationship. You also see a lot of circular conversation. So they'll yes you to death just to kind of shut you up. But then the problem persists like over and over again. And then you go back and you have a conversation with them, and it seems like you're going in circle, like you're chasing your tail. That's circular conversation. And that's really big with a personality disorder, and very frustrating. Excessive lying. Lying is a huge red flag. Also, they have they their ego is totally inflated. Like they have to feed their ego at all times. So if you hurt their ego, or you're gonna get a backlash from them, and they never let go of anything either. They can bring up the same argument, over, like, it could have happened 10 years ago, and to them it happened yesterday. So they're very, believe it or not, so they're very aggressive in nature. However, they're very sensitive and fragile. So they get, and when you harm them, when you hurt them, they never get over it. It's all about revenge to them. So those are just some red flags, but there's also, different subtypes of narcissism, and each subtype is different. So, a covert narcissist is one that will, is usually, everyone loves the covert narcissist. Everyone thinks that, that person is just, they're usually in an upstanding position. They may work in a school, a doctor's office, and, just have a very nice job, and everyone loves them. Go home, and when the doors are closed, they're a whole nother person. They usually, it's like Jekyll and Hyde, you'll see. So then when the victim, and I hate to say, I shouldn't say victim. I should really clarify that. They're, I like to say survivors of narcissism that have lived with that, know how, it's very hard to kind of even convince other people that you were with a narcissist if they're a covert, because a lot of people will normally say, but they're so nice.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I loved having that conversation with them. Oh, they look at how they treat their dog, or they'll have different stories of how wonderful they are. So it's very isolating if you were, if you end up with a covert narcissist, because a lot of people will look at you like you're the issue, because
Right.
that is too amazing. And then you have other narcissists, like malignant narcissists are all about control, and they're the type of narcissist that that's basically in your face, and you know you're dealing with a narcissist because they're very vengeful, and they have anger problems, and they don't hide it basically. So I think one thing that's important to note is that there are several types of narcissist, and they all are very different.
Right.
So what I've come across is people will say, oh, well, my, so and so probably isn't a narcissist because they don't act like that. And I could clearly hear the narcissism and the symptoms. However, that person's getting it confused, thinking that, oh, they must be a grandiose narcissist, when really they're not. They're showing signs of another kind of narcissism. So I see that and hear that all the time. So that's, I always want to give that information out there that, please get educated on the different types of narcissism. There's more than one type.
Right. So in the court system, if you're dealing with someone who, especially in family court, and one of the parents has like a psychiatric situation going on, it affects the outcome, correct, of the proceedings with the child.
If one of the parents has a psychiatric,
Yeah, like let's say they're schizophrenic or bipolar or something like that, can that affect the outcome of like a court proceeding?
well, I've actually heard of several cases where I know that the mother was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and another mental illness, and the judge didn't find that to be any cause of concern. And also, it depends what state you're in, because in this particular
Right.
state, they considered it a HIPAA violation to even enter that into court. So
Right.
the issue
Okay.
is that each court is different on what they allow, what's submissible, what's not submissible.
Which would make sense why they wouldn't consider narcissism a like a some like a personality disorder like that, because they don't even consider, and not to say that people who are bipolar can't be good parents or whatever, but if something's gonna endanger the child or create an unsafe environment and it has something to do with like a mental health concern, I
Yeah,
didn't realize that state to state it varies.
it does. And it also varies on the judge.
Yeah.
Each judge has their own opinion on
Yeah.
how they want to rule. But as far as, can you point out that the person's a narcissist to the judge? More than likely, I wouldn't suggest it, because judges don't like that. So,
Really?
yeah, they don't like
So
that.
what would tend to happen if I was in a court battle with my partner and I was like, well, they're a narcissist. What would tend to happen to that proceeding?
They would look at you as the problem, and that's the issue.
What?
Yes. So in the beginning, when I said people go into court thinking that it's going to be fair, and
Right.
that they know. So I would actually advise the person not to say that they're going up against a narcissist, not to bring it up in court. So because they're all going to look at you as though you're the problem. In fact,
Yeah.
even if you were to go see a counselor and tell the counselor, this person I'm dealing with is a narcissist, most likely the therapist isn't even going to like that you've diagnosed them as a narcissist. So that's one kind of thing to kind of keep in the back of your mind, is that a lot of professionals don't like it when you diagnose, even if you
I
are
wonder if
a
like
therapist.
not using like calling someone a narcissist is like a dirty little word right now, because it's almost as if calling someone a narcissist is being treated like I walk into my court proceeding and say, well, my ex-husband shouldn't have blah 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 because he's stupid. But narcissism is a real personality disorder.
Yes.
And that's
They
why you're
will.
doing the work that you're doing.
Yes. Yes. Because a lot of people, are dealing with this. And, there's a very serious matter to this. This is, it's more than When you are entering into family court with a narcissist, you have to be prepared because, you know, they are going to do very classic strategic moves against you in the courtroom, and out of the courtroom. And if you're not aware of those strategic plans that they have in place that they're gonna do, and that they're pretty classic, then you could end up going into some serious debt because your case is going to be dragged out. You could wind up having criminal charges against you. They will drain you financially. They will try to get the children away from you. They will use the children as pawns if you have children. They will find any means that they can to get you. They're very vengeful in court because they're very, very bitter. So, my suggestion would be instead of going into the courtroom and saying, "Your Honor, my spouse over here is a narcissist," and then having everyone angry at you, I would suggest play the game. Go in there and play the game. So, one thing that I, you know, protect yourself. Protect yourself because they are pathological liars and they are going to spin a nasty web of lies about you. So, you know, I always say be prepared as far as no, just know that you're going to be videotaped at all times by them. So don't ever do anything incriminating. Keep a log, write everything down that is said. Try to take screenshots of text messages. But even, you know, I would suggest not even do text messages, but do everything over the computer because it's just easier to keep the log. Because basically, if you slip, they're looking for you to slip up in any way. So they're going to push your buttons. They're going to be very calculating. They're going to bait you and they're going to wait for your response. Now, they'll never videotape themselves baiting you, but they're going to tape your response. So they can get you being the crazy one.
And then when
And
you
the
have this evidence and you've recorded and whatever, that kind of stuff can be used in court,
yes, it
correct?
can. Yes. So when they're baiting you and they're videotaping you secretly without you knowing, they're not going to show the judge that they're baiting you. They're not going to show the judge what you did if you tried to raise your hand and act like you're going to hit them or any. All of that is kept from the video. They just want your response. And then that's when they get the restraining orders, civil restraints, whatever they have to do to make you look crazy. And so they can control the communication and control basically everything. Because to them, it's all about a matter of how can I get this person back? How can I harm them? So that you, so, and one thing to note, family court is used as a tool to just inflict harm onto the survivor of narcissism. And family court, so much time is used up because of narcissists. Narcissists will routinely bring people back to court over and over and over again.
Jeez. And it's frustrating that the court system is so broken that it would allow something like that and not think like, something's up in this situation,
Exactly.
which is where the educational piece comes in. And if we can't, and as we fight to change that, it's important for people who are in relationships with a narcissist to protect themselves.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
tell me a little bit about, so you aren't just like out here talking about this and advocating for this, you're actually doing something about it with your new business. So tell me a little bit about your new group that you're forming.
So I am a life coach, a writer, and a motivational speaker. And on my website, I offer a 8-week course on narcissism recovery and awareness. And each week we go over just a different topic on narcissism, whether, you know, 1 week it'll be just narcissism within the family, because narcissism just isn't, you know, strictly to romantic partners. You deal with narcissism within the family, which you know, which is a different relationship, a different form of trauma. And then also in the workforce, I mean, how many people have had a narcissistic boss? And you know, and then their work is just very hostile and nobody, you don't want to go to work because you feel sick, you know, the night before. Like this is very common. So I want to really educate the different relationships that you can have with a narcissist, and then also how can you heal from from being exposed to a narcissist.
Right. Awesome. And
So
so, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I am a big advocate on education,
Okay.
because the more that you know, the better you're going to protect yourself.
I like that.
So that's why I'm all about doing the 8-week course, and I look at it almost like a course, because it is a group where, yes, they can interact with one another, but it is really a place where you can get all of your questions answered. You can learn a lot of information. That way, moving forward, you are less likely to get involved with another narcissist,
Right.
or the narcissist that you can't cut out of your life. You'll at least have better boundaries to know how to, how to deal with them.
Exactly. That's awesome. And so all the notes on Kimberly's build business, Kimberly Hildebrand LLC, will be on the show notes. You can also follow her on Instagram with the same name. She also has a new presence on TikTok and she's doing an amazing job. There are so many. I feel like I learned so much about narcissists and people in narcissistic, I don't know if that's a word, but in relationship with narcissists from TikTok.
Narcissistic relationships,
Yeah,
yes.
I have learned a lot about narcissistic relationships on TikTok, which people think TikTok is a bunch of crazy stuff, but there's a lot of people out there on TikTok telling their story and looking for community and support. And so yeah, I encourage you guys to follow Kimberly on all of her platforms. She's also on Facebook, but I'll put all those with our show notes today. And so, Kimberly, is there anything else that you wanted to add that you feel like you really want the listeners to take away from our chat today?
Yes, I think that if you are dealing with, if you feel as though you potentially are dealing with a narcissist, then, I would make sure that your attorney that is representing you is knowledgeable on narcissism.
Okay.
And if they are not, then go find someone that is. I
Yeah.
also encourage you to get as much information on narcissism in the family courtroom before you even enter into the courtroom.
Yeah.
Because the more you know, the more you can protect yourself, because there's plenty that you can do to make the court process run. I don't want to say it's going to run smooth, because it's going to be difficult with the
But to
narcissist,
protect
but
yourself, maybe.
it could go a lot better if you're
Yeah.
prepared.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I really encourage you guys to check out Kimberly Hildebrand's website, Kimberly Hildebrand LLC. And if honestly, if you guys have any questions or anything, reach out to her on social media, or through her website. She is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And she's a Jersey girl. So she's an East Coast girl. So I love her. So Kimberly, thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I can't wait to have you again on Okay, Let's Talk.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Okay, Let's Talk. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date on our latest episodes. You can also check the episode notes for ways to get in touch with me and for more info on the show. Until next time, own your story and live empowered. Bye.